plenty to cover. But as promised, we're joined right now by somebody who works with MLB Network, NHL Network, Fox Sports, MLB Network Radio, a man who can break down why the Upper Peninsula is part of Michigan. He is a friend of the program. Remember, NHL Network is going to have live coverage before and after every game of the Stanley Cup Final. You can catch our guest, John, on the call for the Yankees-Indians this Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern with Matt Vasgersian and Tom Verducci on MLB Network Showcase. He is a very busy man, as always. John Morosi is joining us right now. John, good to have you back. How are you?
Jim, my friend, it is great to be with you, as always, at any time of year, but most especially this one between the Cup Final going on, MLB, we got the Showcase game on Friday. I truly cherish this time of year. It is one of my absolute favorites of the whole calendar.
In fact, John, you answered my question. I was going to say, what with the MLB Draft, Stanley Cup Final, College Baseball Super Regionals, Dallas Keuchel, Craig Kimbrel bidding season, I know this is the very best time of year. I'll get to baseball in a minute, but you were in St. Louis over the weekend to cover the Cubs and the Cardinals. As somebody who loves hockey, how would you describe the mood in that city?
Outstanding. And Jim, to me, this is, of course, the first time that, actually over the weekend was the first time that we ever saw that great Cubs-Cardinals rivalry happening at the same time as a Blues Stanley Cup Final game. And of course, the Blues' first trip to the Cup Final in nearly a half century. So, great hockey town, great baseball town, really adds to the flavor, I think, and the enthusiasm that it's so close together. Only six blocks separate Enterprise Center, where the Blues play, from Busch Stadium. And from having covered the Western Conference Final for NHL Network during the previous round, and, of course, having most of my background professionally being in baseball, it was really interesting to me to see Adam Wainwright and Yadier Molina coming to the Game 6 clincher, the Western Conference Final, and just that really unique support that goes both ways. And we've seen a lot of Blues players come to Cardinals games the last couple months. So I think there really is a unique bond that exists between the two fan bases. And the two teams themselves. I mean, it's pretty unique and pretty special. So, and I think in the case of the Blues, they really, Jim, embody the mentality of the city exceptionally well. A blue-collar place. Ryan O'Reilly saw him a huge game last night with two goals and really be the difference maker. He's come on and really added a lot of credibility and veteran savvy to that dressing room, and certainly what we're seeing on the ice for the Blues. So, he is a very easy player, I think, for St. Louisans to like. And much like a lot of the players in the Cardinals team. So it's a pretty special time to be covering sports, either sport, I believe, in St. Louis right now.
Great series, great story, great for that town. John Morosi joining us. All right, John, last time you and I spoke, it was the end of April. We talked about Cody Bellinger, and we talked about his start to the season, and that has continued. In fact, you tweeted this morning a list of the best MLB seasons by players age 24 or younger through 150 at-bats. Bellinger's on top of that list, ahead of guys like Mantle, Harper, McCovey, and Mays. What does that say about Cody Bellinger?
Well, Jim, certainly one parenthetical here is that we are in a very offensive year. This, the overall context of what he's doing is happening in a year where we've seen the ball flying. We all know that. We see that. But that takes, to me, nothing away from what he has done on the field and the historic quality of those numbers. I mean, they speak for themselves. We are talking about, Jim, one of the great seasons ever in the history of the game for a player his age and younger, and one could argue a player of any age, of any time. He's been that good. And I think, too, I'll share this story with you. The humility that he's got is impressive. There was a game that we did on Fox two Saturdays ago in Pittsburgh. It was rain-delayed. The game ended after midnight Eastern time. It was like 12:16 in the morning by the time the game finally ended. And he stood on the field with me and waited through an entire commercial break to do an interview after the game live with me. And certainly there are other players that may have waited, but that stood out to me for a player who's at the absolute peak of his powers right now. He has never been hotter in the game than he is right now. It would have been very easy for him to say, you know what, it's late, I got to get back, I have to rest, or can we tape this? He said, no, I'll wait through the break, it's okay. So it tells you a lot about how easily he is accepting this level of attention, pressure, and how it has not changed him. I think he has remained humble. He, of course, grew up around the game through his father playing in the major leagues and playing for the Yankees, certainly, during that stretch of the Jeter years. So I thought that it was one little insight, Jim, but I think it really speaks to the man and who he is as a person that he was able to just have that presence of mind at a time when he was, I'm sure, very tired at the end of the night. It just said a lot to me, and I think explains partially how he's handling all the pressure and the tension so well.
That's true. I've done this a long time, John. You don't see that very often. John Morosi joining us. You know, another name, John, a young guy who's just absolutely killing it, and he may not be a household name yet, but he's going to appear on the program next hour. That's Tampa Bay's Austin Meadows. For those who do not know, just how good is he?
He is exceptional, and he also factors into that list, Jim, of the very best seasons that we've seen from a player of that age and younger. He's on that very same list in OPS, ahead of the likes of McCovey and Mays, and I've heard of both of them before. So he's in pretty unique company, just behind Bellinger, of course, with what he's done this year. And really, if you take away the time that he was injured, and if he had been healthy continuously, I don't think we'd be talking about him quite like we're talking about Bellinger, but it'd be close because the numbers are very similar. He arrived in Tampa Bay last summer in a trade with Pittsburgh. He was a key part of the Chris Archer deal that went back to Tampa Bay. And so I think the Rays, for a long time, Jim, they were very patient about moving Chris Archer. They wanted to make sure they got the right return, and their patience was rewarded because they got Tyler Glasnow, who's been very good. Of course, he's injured now. Great start to the year. And then Austin Meadows, who just simply didn't really have a clear path to play in Pittsburgh. They've always had a lot of really good outfielders there. Gregory Polanco, Starling Marte, Andrew McCutchen before them. So he didn't quite have that opportunity, but an elite, young hitter from the Southeast, played a lot of baseball growing up, just a really well-developed young player, signed out of high school, and now is really flourishing again, coming into his own. So the Rays were very patient. They were very wise to get him when they got him last year, Jim, and the Pirates, I'm sure, regretting on some level just how much they gave up to get Chris Archer. I had their GM, Neil Huntington, tell me, listen, we still love the fact that we've got Chris Archer, but the criticism about what I gave up is fair because I gave up a lot and certainly gave up perhaps even more than what the Pirates realized they had in Austin Meadows.
We are talking to John Morosi for a few more moments. All right, John, the 2019 MLB draft started last night. That's big news, but so is the fact that you can now sign Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrell without having to give up draft pick compensation. I know you spoke to Scott Boras about what he expects from Keuchel and whether or not he'll sign quickly. What was the response from his agent, and what do you make of that?
Well, Jim, it was a classic metaphorical Scott Boras quote, which he sometimes will do at this time of year. I asked him if he thought that Dallas Keuchel would sign quickly, and his response was, quote, "the wine has to decant," end quote. I'm not an oenophile. I'm not really too aware of all the finer points of wine, winemaking. But I think Scott was saying that it's going to take some time for the market to develop a bit there for Dallas in the coming days. Now that, as you point out, the draft pick compensation has gone away. My colleague today at MLB.com, Mark Feinsand, reported that the Yankees and Braves are the two favorites to sign Keuchel. I think a deal is possible this week based on what I've been told. The Cardinals as well are one more team that's been involved and interested. And, of course, Craig Kimbrell is out there now, and the draft pick no longer applies to him either. So his market is fully free, and Keuchel's is as well. I would imagine we'll see some signings in the next week. And Scott Boras also told me recently, Jim, that he believes that Keuchel could be ready to pitch in a major league game within a week of signing. Now, there are some baseball folks that dispute that, that think that it's going to take him a lot longer, that the simulated games he's been throwing are not adequate preparation to go right out there and pitch a major league game. But Scott is very confident that Dallas Keuchel's been throwing every fifth day there in Newport Beach at the Boras Sports Training Facility there on simulated action. So Scott thinks Dallas Keuchel's ready. I'm sure Dallas Keuchel feels Dallas Keuchel's ready, and now it's just a matter of lining up as the wine decants, Jim, over the coming days.
I was just going to say, John, I wonder if the wine has to decant from Kimbrell as well.
I think that on some level it does, although in the case of Kimbrell, relievers, I think he applies so broadly that I think that his market is going to be robust. There may be more teams involved on Kimbrell than Keuchel. Keuchel may well get more money and probably will because he's a starting pitcher. But I think there's probably broader interest in Kimbrell just because many contending clubs need a key late-inning reliever. The Cardinals are one example. The Phillies are another. I would say certainly the Braves are another option. The Cubs, who are saving some money now that Ben Zobrist is on the restricted list. So So that's something Ken Rosenthal reported over the weekend about how the newfound spending power by the Cubs could potentially allow them to land Craig Kimbrel. So I think a lot of teams are involved there. The Twins have been linked actually to both players. The Twins, surprisingly in first place in the minds of some in the AL Central, now they may be looking to really take advantage of that opportunity that they've got and really boost their chances of advancing through October. And there's no better way to do it right now, Jim, than if you find a way to get Keuchel or Kimbrel.
Man, I'll tell you what, John, I am so disappointed that I don't have more time because I wanted to get into the history of Michigan's Upper Peninsula, something you were tweeting about, which included references to the Marquette Mining Journal, but I just don't think that we have time to give this the proper respect that it deserves. So if we can rain check that, and you can kind of file that away and remember that, we can go back to it.
I promise. Next time, a full discussion of the Toledo strip and the trade for the UP. It's on my calendar. You got
That's what I'm saying. All right, so NHL Network's going to have live coverage, and that's before and after every game of the Stanley Cup Final. You can catch John on the game call of Yankees and Indians on Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern, on MLB Network Showcase as well. John, great to have you back. Thank you very much. I know you're really busy this time of year, but it's always good to talk to you.
Jim, my friend, I always love talking with you. You do such a great show. Love listening. And so whenever I'm on, it's a great honor for me. So thanks. Thanks again for all you do. And keep up all the best work.
You too, John. Thanks so much. Really appreciate you. Great deal of respect and admiration for your work as well. MLB Network, NHL Network, Fox Sports, MLB Network Radio. And my man can, in fact, and he would have proven it had we had time, can break down why the Upper Peninsula is part of Michigan.